Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. My original History Reviewed YouTube channel was banned in December 2016. Another channel was banned early in 2017. My 10 new YouTube channels were all banned at the beginning of June 2017. My PayPal account was stopped at the same time. For months before my channels were banned, my videos were being banned across Europe, especially in France, Germany, and Italy. I'm running videos from my website at historyreviewed.com. My website is my central index for all my videos. You can search for any videos that I've ever done. I've mentioned that I want to do history about the white race, especially before Christianity, and going back as far as we can find evidence, so that we can see what exactly were we like in the past. And I think it may shock you when you discover certain things. I think you'll be astounded as you learn more about our past, because we in many ways have forgotten a great deal of what we were. And in fact, it's one of the scariest tragedies of our race's history. We must never, ever, ever lose track of our history ever again. It has almost destroyed us as a race. And history and the past is something we really need to make sure we never lose sight of again, and we never allow ourselves to be deluded about the truth of the past in any way. And if you look around you, you should have realized by now that there are a lot of liars out there, people who are misleading the world. And this is extremely dangerous. Now, we white people, we've been around for a long time. We've been around for about 40 to 45,000 years in Europe. And there is evidence that goes back that far, which shows that we've been around there. We are really known as Caucasians, because we come from an area by the Caucasus Mountains and north of the Black Sea. That area, which is now in Russia, that is actually our original homeland. And from there we spread into Europe. But we also went to the Middle East. We also went to India. Now, this Christianity of ours, we've believed in this thing for almost 2,000 years, but not quite. However, we were something else in the 40,000 years before that. And what exactly were we? What exactly can we find out about ourselves back then? And that is what I want to do in videos that we're going to be looking at in the weeks and months ahead. Now, the short video that you're going to see is a video by a guy called Steve McNallan, who runs an organization called ASATRU, a Native European Religion. He's also got a website. And he talks about what exactly, in a nutshell, did we believe before Christianity? What are the broad principles that we believed in? And he reads a statement with 9 points. And when I listen to that, to me, this stuff fits in naturally with things that I've been thinking about for quite some time. When I look at National Socialism, which is basically natural law. The very thing that Hitler and the Nazis were demonized over was nothing more than recognizing the way the world really works. And that is what you're going to find in this man's statements. When I look at these nine commandments, I'm calling them nine commandments. You'll see they're a bit more complicated than that, but this gives you some basic insight into the way that we used to think. When I look at these things make complete sense to me, and to me they are very natural. When I look at these things, I tell you, they fit like a glove. I think this is absolutely perfect for us. The kind of thinking that is in here is the kind of thinking that whites used to be able to live by in the past. And it enabled them to survive and face a dangerous world without becoming depressed and miserable. So listen to what he has to say. Judge it for yourself. I'm going to make a few short comments after this. But we're going to get back to more white racial stuff in the months ahead. So here is Steve McNallan.
Hi, I'm Steve McNallan, and I lead an organization called the Asatru Folk Assembly, or AFA. Asatru is a Native European religion, and in the next few minutes, I'd like to explain to you just exactly what that means. Asatru was practiced throughout Europe by many of the tribes of that area, all the way from Iceland to Russia, all the way from the frozen climes of Scandinavia down to the sunny shores of the Mediterranean. These tribes wandered, lived, fought, left their legacy, and honored their gods and their goddesses and their ancestors. Today, the sons and daughters of Europe are scattered all around the world, and we think of ourselves as being Americans or Canadians or Germans or Danes. But beneath these newer labels, there lurks an older and more essential identity. We are Angles and Saxons. We are Vikings. We are Hermundari, Chati, Cheruski, all the old tribes from which we are descended. We have been Europeans for about 40,000 years. We have been Christians for considerably less than 2,000 years. Perhaps it is time that we took a look at the path of our ancestors, the way that they related to themselves, to the gods, to the world around them, and see if there isn't something there that can benefit us, real, ordinary, live human beings in the 21st century. In the 1960s and 1970s, many people of Native American ancestry started returning to their traditional ways. Part of this was expressed in political fashion, but other parts dealt with their innate spirituality, the ways of their ancestors. At about the same time, many people of African American descent began looking towards all things African, looking to their culture in Africa, their clothing, their food, their ways of relating with each other, and, yes, also looking at their African religious roots as well. Now it is time for people of European descent, not just in America, but all around the world, to hearken back to this older identity. Time to look again at the way, the spiritual way, that gave our ancestors strength and courage and protection and inspiration in a difficult world. It's not easy for me to give you any sort of a description of Asatru in terms of beliefs and doctrine in a short little presentation like this. But I do have some statements that I would like to read that I feel tell a little bit about the flavor of Asatru, how Alsa Tru fits in our hearts, what it feels like. I have here 9 statements. Number 1, the world is good. Prosperity is good. Life is good, and we should live it with joy and enthusiasm. Number 2, we are free to shape our lives to the extent allowed by our skill, courage, and might. There is no predestination, no limitations imposed by the will of any external deity. Number 3, we do not need salvation. All we need is the freedom to face our lives with courage and honor. Number 4, we are connected to all our ancestors. They are a part of us. We, in turn, will be a part of our descendants. Number 5, we are also linked to all our living kin, to our families, and to every man and woman rooted in the tribes of Europe. These are our greater family. Number 6, we are connected to nature and subject to its laws. The holy powers often express themselves in nature's beauty and might. Number 7, we believe that morality does not depend on commandments, but arises from the dignity and honor of the noble-minded man and woman. Number 8, we do not fear the holy powers or consider ourselves their slaves. On the contrary, we share community and fellowship with the divine. The holy powers encourage us to grow and to advance to higher levels. And finally, number 9, we practice Alsa Tru by honoring the turning of the seasons, the ancestors, the divine, and ourselves in everyday life. Alsa Tru is about roots. It's about connections. It's about coming home.
I just want to make a few comments about a couple of these commandments, as I call them. I call them that because that is more or less the kind of language we're used to. Maybe there's a better term for it than commandment, but I like the idea that it's a bit of a law. It's something that we agree on at a high level. So starting with number 1, the world is good, prosperity is good, life is good, and we should live it with joy and enthusiasm. The idea that the world is good, you know, regardless of how we like or dislike the world, this is now my viewpoint, regardless of how we like or dislike the world, this is the world in which we find ourselves, and it works in a certain way. And whether we like it or not, this is how the world is. And the world is a tough place. The world has certain laws and certain laws of nature. And whether we like those laws or not, those are the governing paradigm. And those are massive things. There's a force out there that we cannot control. I mentioned to Alex Linder quite a time back, and it was something that made an impression on him. I said to him that Mother Nature repays stupidity with death or serious injury. And it was something that touched Alex quite a bit. And it's something that I'm serious about. If you look around nature, nature doesn't play games. If you go and you spit in the face of nature and you think you can just do any old thing and you do a stupid thing, you could find that nature will kill you. You decide to jump off a cliff and see whether you will or will not survive. Mother Nature doesn't care what your state of mind is or whatever. You will be punished for your stupidity. If you look in the animal kingdom, you will see that the zebra, who's half asleep and isn't taking much notice, that zebra may soon be the meal for a lion. This is how the world is. There are certain forces at work in the world, and if you look at nature, nature is one enormous menu. And this animal is eating that animal, and another animal is eating that animal, and so it goes on. This is the efficiency of nature. How it came to be this way, why it came to be this way, I can't tell you. I suspect a lot of it just has to do with efficient engineering, that's all. But those laws apply to humans as well. So accept the world as it is. Don't spit in the face of nature. And face the world and face life with its risks, because there are risks. And in actual fact, we could be killed by all kinds of things. Nature could kill us. An asteroid could fall on the earth and could kill us all. These things are very real possibilities. And as we've studied science and things that happened in the past, scientists have found evidence for all sorts of things. Real catastrophes. Our little planet that we live on is a tiny little place, and we can all be wiped out. And it's something that is beyond our ability to prevent at this point in time. But that's not to say that the white race can't prevent all sorts of things. We are a very, very capable people. Make no mistake, and we'll get back to that. So that then takes us to point two. We are free to shape our lives to the extent allowed by our skill, courage, and might. And you know, that is very important. That is utterly important. That commandment number two, that is the most important thing of all. If we can stick to commandment number two and just accept that nature allows us to shape our lives to the extent allowed by our skill, courage, and might, that, my friends, is all that we need as white people. We don't need anything else. And I also agree with them. There's no predestination, no limitations imposed by the will of any other external deity. And he goes on to say, number three, we do not need salvation. All we need is the freedom to face our lives with courage and honor. I'm 100% in agreement with that. That's all we need. We don't need to be helped. Nobody needs to assist us. We as white people must just be able to get up and do what we can do to the maximum of our ability. Now, Ben Clausen, whom I regard as the Pope of the white race, he also spoke about this. He spoke about how no animal holds himself back for any other animal, and that this nonsense that we have to slow down our progress in order to grab on to everybody else and assist them at our expense, and not to mention the fact that they're ungrateful as well, and that we have to slow ourselves down for the sake of others. This runs completely contrary to nature. And in fact, there are points that I want to get back to about how some of these things that liberals do are preventing us as whites from having massive victory. We are being prevented from victory. Nature is on our side. Nature is 100% on the side of white people. If we left nature to do its work, huge numbers of our enemies would already be dead. Mother Nature would kill huge numbers of people for us. simply because we live according to the laws of nature and other people do not want to live according to the laws of nature. And they should be left to die. And all this charity where we waste our energies on others only to discover that they are full of anger and hatred after we've assisted them, after we've allowed them to live and to breed and to prosper at our expense, and then we find that they are still angry with us and they have ambitions to destroy us. This, my friends, is utter nonsense. We white people, what he didn't tell you, is that in our 40,000 years of living in Europe, that 20,000 of those years was during the Ice Age, and that is a critical time. Never in the history of our existence have we suffered as much as during the Ice Age, and the Ice Age is what shaped us. Because if you were some kind of moron, you wouldn't have survived the Ice Age. But our forefathers survived 20,000 years of Ice Age. And they did it with Stone Age tools and things like that. Here we are saying, oh, we're going to die, we're going to die. Because of a few blacks and a few Jews. No, my friends, our forefathers had a lot more guts than we had. And a lot more energy and determination. And Mother Nature would have killed them if they had not lived in accordance with the laws of life. If they had done stupid things, decided not to go and get food, not to store food, and stuff like that, they would have been dead and we wouldn't be here. So let's continue. He says we are connected to all our ancestors. They are a part of us. And we in turn will be a part of our descendants. That is another critical thing. If you take commandment number 4 seriously, then we as a race must look after ourselves as a race from now into eternity. And we should be willing to risk our lives now so that those who come after us have a better life. And they in turn must do the same for the next ones ahead of them. If we all work for a better future for those who follow us, then those who do follow us, they can look back on us and be grateful for our efforts, just as we should be much more grateful to those who came before us, those who carved out things before us. Adolf Hitler, in one of his speeches, he also talks about this. He also talks about how people must be grateful and pay respect to those who came before us. And if we whites are serious, we should look on our race as a super organism. A super organism that can have the potential to live forever. We as a race could live forever, if we make sure that the next generation carries on and does good things and prepares the way. It is my personal belief, this is my personal belief, and it's an argument I will make again in the future. It is my personal belief that we, the white race, have the capability to outlive the length of life of our planet. We can live beyond the life of our planet. And our planet still has a few billion years of life in it. We should be able to outlive the planet and be able to live beyond the life of this planet. That is well within our capability. If you look at what we've done in just a few thousand years and the many miracles that we've pulled off, there's no question in my mind that we as a super organism can live forever. And that means we must make sure that each generation is properly prepared and goes to work with enthusiasm and with energy. Then there can be no limit to the incredible things that the white race will do in the future. There's no limit on us. I believe that we have the capability to do things that you cannot even begin to conceive. We are a race that has never been stopped by anything. We are unique on this planet in the manner in which we carve out nature. We can bend nature to our will. We are the people who've done it the most. We are incredible, and we should never ever allow others to interfere with our abilities and with our plans. And it goes on to say, we are linked to our living kin, to every man and woman rooted in the tribes of Europe. These are our greater family. Now you're talking. I'm 100% in agreement with that. And we are bound together by our DNA. That is our gold. And we must look after it and improve on it. And we all come from Europe. Europe is our homeland. And for the record, we should never again destroy Europe. That is the stupidest of stupid things that we've done. And then he goes on to say that we believe that morality does not depend on commandments, but arises from the dignity and honor of a noble-minded man and woman. I have no problem with that. Number 8, he says, we do not fear the holy powers or consider ourselves their slaves. On the contrary, we share community and fellowship with the divine. The holy powers encourage us to grow and to advance to higher levels. Exactly. And we have bent some of those holy powers. We are the only race that has done that. And then it goes on to say, number 9, we practice Asatru by honoring the turning of the seasons, the ancestors, the divine, and ourselves in everyday life. And finally, he ends by saying, it's about coming home. Yes, fellow white people, it's about coming home. We are one. And take note how for decades and decades and decades, we've had the Jews turning everybody on the planet against us and in their arrogance saying that, no, they are not white. You're damn right you're not white. And you don't belong among whites at all. And they think that just because we're down to 8% of the world's population, that now it's time to kill us all. Oh, really? You reckon that with 92% of the world's population on your side, you're going to come and crush the last little 8%, and you think it's going to be an easy victory? You're in for the surprise of your lives. We are going to kick everyone's ass. You think we can't do it? We are the white race. We will kick the other 92%'s ass from here to kingdom come, and we need to teach them new manners and respect. They need to learn respect, and we will beat respect into them. You think we can't do it? You know nothing about our military history. You know nothing about what we are capable of. If we all stood together, let me tell you, we will beat the living crap out of the other 92% on this planet. And if we rolled up our sleeves and decided that we wanted any flipping part of this earth that suits us, we can have it all. So don't you believe all their nonsense. They think that they're going to beat us. Ha! Wait until we whip the living daylights out of them. And that's why I keep telling the whites here in South Africa, we may be down to 11% in South Africa, and whites globally may be down to 8% or 9%. It doesn't matter. We are white people. We must stand up and face our enemies the way that we always used to do. That's why I like commandment number 2. I love it. We are free to shape our lives to the extent allowed by our skill, courage, and might. And between you and me, that, my friends, is all that we need. That business of to the extent allowed by our skill, courage, and might. Oh man, that is such a no-brainer. We are going to whip their asses. We're going to whip the asses of our enemies until they cry like little girls. So yeah, don't be worried about the future. If we live the way we've always lived, let me tell you, nothing that we face is even 1% as difficult as our ancestors faced when they were living in the Ice Age for 20,000 years. Let me tell you, nothing the Jews and the blacks and the others can throw at us is even 1% as difficult as living through the Ice Age. And if they want to fight, they're picking the wrong people to fight with, because we are the masters of warfare and violence. And if they want to try force and violence, they're in to get their asses whipped. So that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.